speaker is Marco Scutini. Marco Scutini is an independent curator, writer. He's the director of the Nava University in Milan. He's the editor of the No Order magazine, Art in the Post-Fordist Society. And his writings have been published in magazines such as Springerin, Flash Art, Domus, Moscow Art Magazine, Gomaria, Fucking Good Art, Kaleidoscope, Manifesto Journal, etc. And since 2005, he has been the curator of the traveling exhibition Disobedience, an ongoing video archive that was presented in numerous cities, among those Berlin, Mexico City, Eindhoven, Nottingham, Riga, Atlanta, Boston, Umeå, Copenhagen, and more. And this Disobedience archive will also be in the center of Marco Scutini's presentation titled Autonomia, for example. And for me, the Disobedience archive is the most important archive bringing together films dealing with forms of resistance from around the world. And for this session, it would be interesting to discuss the project not solely under the aspect of disobedience, but also in as far this project could be discussed under the premise of opening up politics freed from the state to different forms of collective organizing that could point into the direction about how we could envision principles of a coming, maybe an absolute democratic society. Marco, please.
Thank you, Oliver, and I prefer to read the text, and maybe is more an investigation of the general topic of the panel than an explanation of a single project, and so sorry for being a little bit boring. Contemporary forms of social mobilization breaking out everywhere across the planet today share something in common: the refusal of representation, new ways of political subjectivation, and the experimentation of forms of organization that break away from modern political tradition, a tradition which is founded upon the delegation of power to representative of the people and social classes. Starting from the protests in Seattle in 1999 to the protests recently enacted by the International Occupy Movement, from Zapatista uprising to the Arab insurrection, there is an identical tension, global chaotic terror transforming the world that has never stopped it to act. The insurgent movements respond to the decline of political model based on representation, to the neoliberal economy's new hegemony, and the governing police forces with a devastating political experimentation that dislocates the classic method of exercise in power and resists the logic of representation, political parties, ruling classes, the state. In fact, one of the issue mainstream media analysts and opinion makers were posing to the Occupy movement was a single question: what are the specific demands? The demands that deal with issues like public education, housing, justice, distribution of labor, etc. But as Judith Butler said, one implication seems very clear. The reason that there are no demands were when bodies assemble under the name of Occupy is that any list of demands would not exhaust the ideal of justice being demanded. Because when the bodies gather as they do to express their indignation and to enact their pure resistance in public space, they are also making broader demands. They are demanding to be recognized and to be valued. They are exercising the right to appear and exercise freedom. They are calling for a livable life. But in the end, we can also ask, but the man to whom, since today we are facing an effective exertion of political representation and transformation of the social democracy into something else. I think we are all very well aware of the fact that most of the state resources have been by now completely privatized. This has created a new and totally different centralization of power and money. So the problem is not so much that politicians are corrupt, even if this is also true, but rather that the constitutional structure isolates the mechanisms of political decision-making from the powers and desire of the multitude. And a real process of democratization in our societies has to attack the lack of representation and the false pretenses of representation at the core of the Constitution. So we are not dealing here with the moral issue of recalling the constitutional power to its duties. We are rather facing a politicized space. So we have to recognize and acknowledge that we are dealing with a real discontinuity in respect to the liberal tradition and its reformist tendencies. We are now facing a political horizon that has no centers and peripheries, which cannot be analyzed through the lens and paradigm of good art and good politics. The current no, the refusal to obey contemporary dissent, does not propose a dialectic position in relation to power, but establishes itself as a force of creativity and experimentation of languages, activities, and subjectivities. The space to which they are exposed is that of the new imaginaries and new opportunities of life that reveal as many aesthetic models as there are productive forces and social movements. As my friend Maurizio Lazzarato recently affirmed, one thing is really clear now. There are no alternatives possible within representative democracy. The contemporary financial crisis is not solely an economic crisis, but also a crisis of a neoliberal governance, whose wish to make every individual an owner, an enterprise, a stockholder, failed miserably with the collapse of the financial system in the USA. The economic failure and the failure in the production of subjective images of the owner, stockholder, and entrepreneur go hand in hand. The subjectivity produced by neoliberal economy and its crisis today is exactly that social terrain in which and against which the insurgent movements and movements of resistance have to act. These movements have not only the capacity to reject this subjectification, but they also hold the creative capacity to bring to the fore new form of life that all share a common matrix. What then are the conditions for a political and existential break at the historical moment when the production of subjectivity constitutes the first and most important form of capitalist production? What specific instruments of the production of subjectivity are needed to obstruct its industrial mass production by business of subjectification that would make business in the state, sorry. What form of organization should be created for a process of subjectification that would make it possible to escape at one degree of subjection and those of enslavement? In fact, the refusal to delegate the representation of what divides us, property, wealth, power, to political parties and labor unions, and the representation of what we share, citizenship, community, to the state, has its origin in a new concept of political action brought forward by the revolution of the 70s. One of the historic examples that I have assumed as a working model since here derives from the experience of autonomia movement in Italy, that many of you probably already know, and that has been brutally interrupted with the big trial of April 7, 1979. So rather than focusing only on the contemporaneity, I think it's also important to analyze some of the anticipation of our present in recent history, as Sophia has tried to do before. Autonomia, in fact, is a really important example and anticipation of absolute democracy, as the title of this panel suggests, that locates itself outside the idea of representation. The history of autonomy consists of a multiplicity of diverse political experiences that goes through the 70s and whose identity revolves around some powerful ideas like class composition, dispersed factory, refusal to work, the shift from the mass worker to the social worker, politics of personal life, etc. It is about raising awareness of a unit of problems and about approaches more than solution, about acknowledging the emergence of urgent needs no longer confined to the factory, the formation of social and political autonomy of the new revolutionary subject. As everybody knows, if autonomia concluded its first cycle of struggle at the end of the 70s, then later it reemerged at the beginning of last decade as an antagonistic theoretical force, first within the frame of post-40s and now under the system of biocapitalism. This militant debate marked the last decade and accompanied the protest against capitalist globalization, whether today is focused on the fight against current crisis and debt. Autonomia movement started in Turin in 1973, and 5 more years were required to reach the fateful year 1977, when the movement reached the culmination of a spread of autonomous behavior and mass. If initially autonomia operaria, workers' autonomy, was an expression subordinate to the 60s union autonomy, in which one could find forms of inferior contractualism and the politicization of the working class struggle, from 1973 onward, the word labor autonomy, autonomia operaria, began to mean something different, something more. The struggle for self-organization moved beyond trade union control and the political logic, but with the events in the Mirafiori district of Torino in 1973, the expression autonomia operaria took on a new meaning. It became something more radical. It meant that the laborers, the supportive proletarian community, could set up social terms of exchange, production, and cohabitation independent from state justice. Sadly, I cannot go more into deep with this history. Behind you have a sort of visualization of the autonomy movement, as before we talk about the visualization of democracy. And these remarks and the experience of autonomia led me to a curatorial project, and this is the most important thing from my point of view, that I had started in 2004, being conscious of a new alliance between art and activism. Disobedience Archive is an itinerant and growing video archive without a definitive shape. The Disobedience Project evolved on the back of strategy called into play by the movement of movements, but also in the same year in which a certain version of the movement appears to have ended. In this sense, Disobedience intended and continues to intend to represent an atlas of the various contemporary resistance tactics, from direct action to counter-information, from constituent practices to form of bio-disobedience. Considered as an archive of heterogeneous and evolving video images, the project aims to be a user guide to the histories and geographies of disobedience. From the Italian struggle of the 1977, this is the first section, to global protests before and after Seattle, to the current insurrection in the Middle East and the Arab world. Disobedience is an investigation into the practices of artistic activism that emerged after the end of the modernism, inaugurating new ways of being, saying, and doing. A different kind of relationship between art and politics characterizes the current phase of biocapitalism, in which it is impossible to understand society's radical changes other than through the transformation of the languages it produces and has produced as both political subject and mediatic object. The political condition of the images effectively played out today in the very recognition of the static nature of its manifestation. Thus, disobedience cannot be seen in any way other than as a device, a toolbox to be used rather than a collection to be seen or displayed. Another important thing is disobedience archive situates itself on the social terrain, which is at the core of the production of subjectivity. To be more precise, the archive is deriving from the consciousness of contemporary subjectivities as mediatized subjectivities. The mediatization today is one of the main factors of the growing indistinction of the division between the life and work. So it seems to me more appropriate to think that the workers are less alienated than they are mediatized. Disobedience, therefore, collects this fragment of political subjectification that, while they destroy the mediatized subjectivity, at the same time produce new forms of enunciation and transform them into decisive praxis for an insurgent project. I know that the time is not so. Anyway, the role of disobedience archive is that of revealing the mediatized nature of history. On the one hand, it aims to show that which corporate media, as the central agent of political authoritarianism, that conceals and all removes from sight. On the other, it aims to take back control of the violent expropriation of experience, producing history, therefore, and rendering it visible. History, considered as a problem of representational politics, is at the center of this film and video that range from documentaries to counter-information, from film essay to agitprop cinema, from video activism to grassroots community cinema. This cinema enacts a strategy of action that runs through the canonical division established by the power that be such as environment, bodies, psyches, work, society, and semiotic flow in order to intervene in life as such. Disobedience archive consists of a mass of video materials on gentrification, grassroots planning, biodiversity, alternative economies, new community, control of society, social disobedience and protest, products of artists and activists as both political subject and mediatic object. The non-acceptance of political representation in favor of situational action, the clear rejection of delegation to political or mediatic representatives, the invention of alternative distribution circuits, the rejection of a critical notion of documentaries, both in form and method, are at the center of new program of action for new political subjectivity. But the most important idea or concept behind the archive is an attempt to create a grammar of the form of the new political action all over the world that perhaps may help us to define how to turn our molecular revolutions into the area of macropolitics. Yet the question that remains open to me is which kind of tools we may still find and use today that would be as strong as the strike was within the industrial for this society. Thank you.